As Edward Said and other critics have noted repeatedly, Marx's 1848 to 53 writings on India and China exhibit Orientalist notions of modernity, occasionally accompanied by ethnocentric ones, in which European colonialism is portrayed as a necessary stage on the road towards social development for societies trapped in an unchanging traditionalism.
Karl Marx did not live in the capitalist society until he moved to London in 1849, says Kevin Anderson, professor of sociology at UC Santa Barbara. And many of his followers have used his early statements on the development of human societies as proof that ethnicity and nationalism are irrelevant, even a distraction from a socialist revolution.
And so Marx writes, the expropriation of the agricultural producer from the soil is the base of the whole process. He's talking about the way the peasants were driven off the land, agriculture consolidated into large commercial farms, peasants driven off eventually to become the urban working classes or the immigrants to places like the United States or Australia.
Marx's most important work, The Capital, is generally interpreted as postulating a linear development for capitalist society and the industrial working class as the only vehicle for revolution. But with time, witnessing the passivity of the English working class and the bloody sepoy insurrection against British imperialism, Marx deepened his understanding of agrarian and non-Western societies. His last known writing, a 1882 preface to the Communist Manifesto, states that
the communal social formations of Russia are not only interesting, not only could Russia have different social development, but resistance based on these villages to capitalist modernization could be the starting point for a communist revolution at an international level if it could link up with the revolutionary labor movement of the Western capitalist countries.
This seemingly striking reversal has largely been ignored by the political theorists, both on the right and the left. On the subject of Polish nationalism, Marx's position was that
in the 1850s, Marx writes to Engels that support for Poland or lack thereof is a litmus test for the revolutionary movement. And one of his biggest fights with the anarchist utopian socialists is over Poland, because the Proudhonists were sympathetic to Russia rather than Poland. They're also unsympathetic to the idea that the workers' movement should take up these political causes that weren't directly related to labor questions, like Polish independence.
And as a contributor to the New York Tribune, Marx criticized Lincoln for
not wanting to say initially that the slaves are going to be freed, for not wanting to use black troops, and so on. And Marx is talking about the possibility of a slave revolution. Like, why isn't the North trying to foment that? Especially after John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry, which he's very happy about.
Much of Marx's writings consist of notebooks, many of which have yet to be widely published. In 1877, he wrote,
look at ancient Rome. They urbanized, they expropriated their peasantry, they replaced that by slave labor, and they drove them into the cities to become a proletariat. But there was no revolution, because the proletarians were the bread and circuses people, and the slaves were doing the real work. And in his notebooks, he says, like the poor whites of the South. So he's making that connection with race.
And in conclusion, Professor Anderson recommends not a repudiation, but a reinterpretation of Marx's theory in light of modern history. For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.